Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, September 26, 2011. John Perkins, who was a globalist economic hitman and who blew the whistle on their corruption, will be joining us coming up in the second half of the nightly news. Thank you for joining us. I'm Alex Jones, your host, and I just want to thank all of the viewers out there who make this transmission possible. This is true alternative grassroots media that is not only giving the establishment dinosaur corporate whore system a run for its money, we are kicking their hind end. And that's why the system is getting so scared right now. So we are at a historic crossroads. I know that most of you understand that, but I want to restate that from the kickoff here this evening because, well, it's teleprompter free. I'm not covering some corporate or presidential talking point that came down the chain and was loaded into a screen for me to read off of while I smile at you like I'm your next-door neighbor and good friend of many years. I'm actually looking into the camera lens. Eye to eye, I'm talking to you straight. Okay, we have got another jam-packed transmission, but I'm not going to make this show 2 hours long tonight. I have committed only having it be about 40 minutes or so. So let's go ahead and get into the incredible news right now. Well, what came out today? After 6 months of obfuscation and absconding, the Justice Department released some of the thousands of documents that Congress has requested. And guess what we found out? Well, my viewers, my listeners found nothing out new. But it is big national news story. Fox News, Associated Press, U.S. government used taxpayer funds to buy and then sell weapons during Fast and Furious, documents show. It reports huge fights at the ATF headquarters in Phoenix with their agents refusing to go along with it when it was learned that in one case alone, 2,000 firearms were actually directly delivered by the ATF to the Sinaloa drug cartel. That's the number one drug cartel in the north of Mexico. That's the folks that were in the news today killing a newspaper editor of the big newspaper in the Nuevo Laredo, one of their editors, because she dared criticize them on her Facebook. They cut her head off. And guess who's given the guns to Sinaloa? I'm pretty close to the border. Well, I guess I better actually stand up to it or I have no future. But that's the type of mafia corruption we're dealing with here. Sinaloa are the people who it came out in federal documents a month ago, but Fox News and others don't report on this. It came out in federal filings that they declared national security when one of their leaders got extradited here and that they were working for the U.S. government and were allowed to ship in tens of tons of pure cocaine into the U.S. in the last 5 years. If they would wage war against the other cartels that weren't laundering their money through private Federal Reserve branch banks. And here is United Press International. U.S. News. Court documents say U.S. knew about coke. That's from back on August 4th. U.S. officials let the Sinaloa drug cartel smuggle tons of cocaine in the United States in exchange for intelligence about rival cartels, court documents say. It was actually if they would launder their money through U.S. banks. And here's the El Paso Times reporting on the same thing. Now, when you read the Fox News story, it tells you it was Sinaloa cartel that was sent the guns. But they don't mention the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Good day. I would say good day, but this important TV transmission is not over yet. You see, a lot of mainstream media, when they're forced to, will give you the story, but only a snapshot of what just happened, not how it's interconnected. Sinaloa is allowed to control the border state regions, bringing in $500 billion a year in cocaine and heroin and marijuana. It's laundered through big globalist anti-American banks. The U.S. is always getting the blame for putting tyrants in Mexico and suppressing Mexico and blocking democratic revolutions in Mexico. And I guess at the end of the day, yes, the American people have allowed foreign banks to come in and dominate us and then dominate Mexico. But the American people are naive to this. We're here to wake you up about it. But our criminal government is financing the Sinaloa cartel to kill other cartels that don't launder their money through U.S. banks and try to keep the money in Mexico. I'm not saying they're humanitarians, but that's what's happening. And that's why Sinaloa is starting to lose their fight down there, because the other cartels are pushing them out. And they're down there killing three journalists in the last week who dared report on this. And that's in the Associated Press today. So that's what's really going on down there. And finally, we're starting to get some of these documents. And, of course, the Attorney General has been caught perjuring himself. It's just amazing to realize that we have a mafia, drug-dealing, gun-running government who isn't content to bring in the drugs and destabilize Mexico. And now I've learned it's 40,000 dead in the last 3 years. That's worse than Vietnam from this situation. They're not content. Then they've got the chutzpah or the bravado or the arrogance, the hubris is even a better word, to then blame the Second Amendment and try to take my right to a Second Amendment to defend myself away from me. This is incredible. All right, I'm done talking about that. Let's shift gears to the real kingpins. The top of the pyramid when it comes to this global mafia. I'm talking about, of course, a memo that Zero Hedge got that the Federal Reserve has since confirmed is theirs. Boy, Zero Hedge has good sources inside the enemy operation. That the Fed, the private Federal Reserve that calls itself the Fed, is busy monitoring all conversations on the web and has put out more bids for tech companies to track anyone criticizing them on the blogosphere or in mainstream media, old line media, so they can counter them. Well, good job getting that scoop, Zero Hedge, but it was Infowars.com back in 2009 that was sent from good sources inside the Army, who are patriots, the fact that the U.S. Army was sent out to end the Fed demonstrations in Houston and in Dallas. Ron Paul was in Houston protesting at the Fed. I was in Dallas, and it turned out that the Liberty Restoration Project and, of course, Infowars.com were sent the documents, and there it is on your screen, that the Army intelligence through Army Reserve domestically was spying on our events and had us listed as violent terrorists because we want to end the private banking dictatorship over the U.S. that runs the drugs and is destabilizing the entire hemisphere. That we were listed as terrorists, and they even told the Army soldiers there in plain clothes, don't let them know you're from the military or they might try to kill you. Here's some video of that peaceful protest where we were just there in a jovial fashion exposing the banksters.
Hey, I want to talk to the workers up there on the parapet, the ones smoking cigarettes and just jump back. You're with the American people, we know that, but understand, ask the workers inside. You're not in a federal government building. You're in a private Federal Reserve that uses that name as a fraud. That'd be like if my first name was Federal Reserve Jones. I'm still not the federal government. I'm not a federal agency. But if I said my name was Federal Reserve, I could go out and pay off politicians and get them to allow me to get into power so I could issue the currency and credit, and then I could buy up the world. That's what these criminals have done.
Again, this is the illegitimate crew that's hijacked our government, that's put us deep in debt through derivatives, debts they created that we don't owe. This is the enemy, and that's why they're panicking, because in most polls, more than 85% of the American people know the Federal Reserve is the financial dictatorship of this country. I saw polls out of Mexico where they're more sophisticated in many ways than Americans. They know it's a global banking cartel that's destroying Mexico. Everyone in the world, whether you live in Europe, Asia, Latin America, or North America, whether you live in Canada or the U.S., this is the enemy. And they are the El Jefes. They are the boss of our society now, to the point of little old Ron Paul, a doctor, can't go protest outside the Fed 3 years ago without the Army being there in plain clothes. That's because we're going after the real power structure, the people that are running the drugs, the people that are funding the drug gangs, the people that are shipping guns to drug gangs in Illinois and Florida and Texas. All of that's come out, too. It's not just cocaine into the U.S. that they're allowed to ship in on record, federal court. U.S. government documents admitting it, or guns down there, they blame our Second Amendment. It's just too incredible. Now, let's shift gears to Rick Perry, a guy who was Al Gore's chief of staff in Texas for Al Gore's presidential run in 88, a guy in 1993-94 who supported Hillary Care, a guy who lied and said it's the law that all girls had to take the deadly Gardasil shot, an individual who tried to hand 8,000 miles of Texas roads over to the multinational company based in Spain, Australia, Centra. A guy who lied and got caught saying that he rammed that through because a woman with cancer asked him to. It turned out after he'd done the executive order, he went and did the photo op. A guy who was as phony as a $3 Federal Reserve note. Rick Perry, I pointed out in the last few weeks, is beginning to implode. Because we're bringing up, and Ron Paul's bringing up, his real record that I just listed some of. Well, now, you can go watch the video at InfoWars.com. We won't play it because of time constraints. Fox News panel, Perry campaign near total collapse. And Brit Hume's exact quote was, he is one half step away from total implosion. The Hill says when Rick Perry drops out, Ron Paul could be second place. And that dovetails with our analysis. He's admittedly in all the polls number three, and Gallup and Rasmussen and others. Well, Perry is now imploding and losing ground to Ron Paul. Mitt Romney right now is in number one position because folks don't know he wrote Obamacare. He supported carbon taxes and worked with Al Gore. He is anti-Second Amendment. We're going to do the same thing we did to Perry to Mitt Romney, another fake Ken doll in the same genre as Obama. The bankers are financing all three of these clowns and demonizing Ron Paul because he is for real. Just amazing, amazing information on that front. Now, the crew has put together a compilation of video clips and news articles to document the claims I just made. But we're supposed to ignore all that because Rick Perry says he's basically Moses and God told him to give shots to little girls that were known in the trials to kill him.
And, you know, I took that as God's real clear message to me. This is where I want you, son. This is where I want you to be.
This is where you want to be. Perry lies again about Texas Gardasil scandal, claims woman he met after signing executive order asked him for it. There's another one. Perry caught in blatant lie over support for bailouts.
He never supported her? No? I thought I saw a letter where you actually written encouraging the support legislation, not
in fact, I signed a letter with Governor of West Virginia, who's a Democrat, and we signed a letter and basically said, you know, don't get all frozen up in fear, act.
This is why I want to publicly recognize Governor Perry and the state of Texas by having taken that step forward when you decided to give access to Mexican migrants to universities in Texas.
Hit pause. So
I want to know how...
Hit pause. Back it up. Listen, there's so many lies, you're probably missing them. I know I almost did. There's multiple videos of him on the campaign trail and on TV saying, I did not support the banker bailout. And then our crew shows you his official letter and Perry on TV bragging that he supported the banker bailout. Then Perry introduced an end-to-sanctuary city bill and went out and said he was against in-state tuition for illegals. When it turns out 81% of new jobs were, quote, to immigrants, 93% of that to illegals. And again, the issue here is whether you're for in-state tuition or not, he lies about all this stuff. He tells you, I didn't support a banker bailout, and then he was supporting it. He says, I didn't support Hillary Care. He was out lobbying for it. I didn't support Al Gore. He was the chief of staff in Texas. It's that he's so phony. And again, somebody from Oklahoma doesn't get in-state tuition, but an illegal does. Saving a person who's from outside the U.S. $91,000 for a four-year degree, that's half off. Point is, it's just incredible. And this is why there's talk of Rick Perry resigning and his poll numbers plunging, is that he's completely and totally phony. I can't go to Mexico and demand that I be given in-state tuition. They would laugh at me. They would laugh at me in Sweden or Russia. But again, The big banks are the ones financing all of this, and they love the fact we're going into debt. This country is bankrupt if we go down this path. Okay, I know I'm ranting. Let's go back to where he ended off with Vicente Fox. It's too incredible.
Governor Perry and the state of Texas, by having taken that step forward when you decided to give access to Mexican migrants to universities in Texas.
So I want to know how Governor Perry justifies being at a Bilderberg meeting. And also on in my research and reading, I've read that he is interested in joining Canada, United States, and Mexico and developing our currency as an Amero. That doesn't appeal to me at all. I think our sovereignty is very much
I agree with you. That doesn't appeal to me at all either. There's only one thing that you talked about there that it has any truth to it. I was invited by a person to go to a Bilderberg meeting, and I found it to be an interesting group of people. I have yet to figure out why they want to keep secret what they're talking about.
To merge our governments with Mexico and Canada and make us all peons on the global plantation. They love it. New York runs Mexico. They have absolutely no liberties. It is the second most corrupt country in the world, according to Encyclopedia Britannica.
And since I confronted Rick Perry and Vicente Fox while he was giving them the award there at the governor's mansion, the full video is up on Infowars.com and our YouTube channel, 40,000 people have died. In fact, it's more than that, 40,000 in the last 3 years. And we're supposed to just ignore all that, but then give our rights up because of the threat of terrorism when we have a better chance of dying from a dog attack or a bee sting. It's very, very clear what's happening. Now, speaking of terrorism, this is some incredible footage that Aaron Dykes and Darren McBreen, our reporters, shot at Operation Mountain Guardian while they were in Denver for this federalization takeover drill that is supposed to reinforce this hysteria and fear of terrorism. This is 4 or 5 minutes of raw footage of women with bombs strapped around their necks, elementary students in fear. This is all part of turning America into a giant re-education camp and fear-mongering. Then we're going to come back from break and get into news of the weird, because there's a lot of really wild stuff being reported right now, from spontaneous combustions in Ireland to faster-than-light particles. It's all coming up on InfoWars Nightly News. And we'll look at the economy, of course, with John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. It's a jam-packed news transmission, and it wouldn't be possible without your support as PrisonPlanet.tv subscribers and this great crew. Now, here are some shocking excerpts of the footage that our team shot in Denver. This was done with a school with children in it, some as young as 6 years of age. And they've done these drills in other parts of the country, as you can check with the Associated Press, unannounced, where children are not even told it's a drill. And they tell them that, well, we did this because of the Second Amendment, or the group that attacked you in this fictitious attack is titled Against Public Education. And here's the guy dressed up as a returning veteran. And in their drills, they admit that's who they're mainly training to fight, who's engaging in terrorist acts. This woman has a necklace bomb around her neck. And this is Pavlovian. They know the police officers respond to this in their memory sections of the brain as a real attack. So they have to have simulated terror drills in every city and town to create really the racial or national memory of a terror attack. So this is all part of high-tech re-education camp. And he is drilling that he is going around killing, the disgruntled vet is going around doing mock killing of children. And McBreen and Aaron are out there in the control room. I haven't reviewed all this footage yet because we're working so fast, but you guys did confirm to me there were children involved in this as young as first grade. Darren McBreen is nodding his head. These look more like middle schoolers. Well, these are elementary. This is at the high school. So he went to the high school and the elementary school, and police confirmed to him that they did it with elementary as well. So I guess you were allowed into the high school. Correct. The police confirmed they did it at the elementary as well. There were over 100 agencies involved, over 100 different locations. Oh, no, there's another disgruntled vet able to catch him on tape. We should have showed the New York Times article where it admitted their main threat is disgruntled vets, and it showed the Explorer Scouts training to take on and kill disgruntled vets. By the way, there was what national Fox News was there, a few locals, and nobody else. Some of the areas our crew was barred from entering, like the sports stadium, where they were practicing taking children and others. There's the evil disgruntled vet who just killed all the children in the mock drill. But on this event, our crew was allowed in. And I got snide emails like, why were you allowed in? Well, because we get up off our fat butts and actually get on airplanes and go places. People ask, how'd you get Rothschild on? Well, he had a book out. I called the publisher and said, hey, we want to have him on part of his book tour. You know, we actually got on the field. We actually got in the race car. We actually got up off the bench and were involved in life. I just get so amazed by people sometimes that can't believe the fact that we're a real news organization and actually get things done. Well, the proof's in the pudding, or to say it a better way, you judge a tree by its fruits. We are taking action because of your support and bringing you real news. And I intend, if PrisonPlanet.tv gets enough members and enough support, to actually hire more reporters and actually have crews in different parts of the country every weeknight. Oh, you found the New York Times article where the first line says they're trying to take on vets? Okay, then when we come back, before we go to break, I'll show you the New York Times article. Wow, this is dynamic footage. We have shown before videos of children unannounced having the police raid them and crying and screaming. And reportedly some of that happened at the elementary school, but we were not allowed into that. This is the New York Times a couple years ago. Scouts trained to fight terrorists and more. And if you scroll down there, it's also got a big photo gallery. It says 10 minutes into an errant mayhem in the town near the Mexican border, a gunman, a disgruntled Iraq war veteran, has already taken out two people. One slumped in his desk, the other covered in blood on the floor. When you go to these drills, they're fighting Tea Partiers, they're fighting gun owners. It's also very racist. It's always white male. You've seen the new Homeland Security videos that have gotten national attention. They've now put out more than 15 of them, promo videos that are on TV. And every terrorist is white, and minorities report them. And again, it's about rebranding. First, they sell white folks, hey, it's for brown Muslims. You know, we're only taking their rights because they're playing to white racism. Now they're rebranding it over. Oh, it's all the whites. They're the terrorists. And this is just training you. Everybody's a terrorist but Homeland Security. And big sisters at the Walmarts sitting there bossing you around. Okay, InfoWars Nightly News, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back after this quick break and get into Strange World, as I have dubbed it. A little extra treat that Marcos, our great graphics guy, put together for you. And then we're going to get into some financial news and our big interview with the highly sought after John Perkins. Stay with us.
Obama is notoriously a liar.
We need to go to where the real architecture of government is, and it's not in a president.
Wall Street has hijacked Washington in broad daylight.
In the Fed!
Well, Obama's already fudging. He's fudged since day one in this election.
The elite are using Obama to pacify the public. so they can usher in the North American Union by stealth, launch a new Cold War, and continue the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan.
The globalists are outside all the nations. That gives them safety, and they play countries off against each other.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
Partnership and cooperation among nations is not a choice. It is the only way.
What they're doing is using the existence of the United States to act out their Wall Street fantasies of world domination and maintaining their capital structures and maintaining their system of looting.
The fight that this country has been waging since its inception is for the central bankers not to take over the country.
President Barack Obama is only the tool of a larger agenda.
Senator Obama had a desire to do some meetings. Others have a desire to meet with him tonight in a private way, and that's what we're doing.
Presidential candidate Barack Obama was publicly criticizing the North American Free Trade Agreement in a bid for votes, but privately telling Canadian officials not to worry about it.
If you talk to our generals, they are desperate for is a civilian counterpart to our military force.
What do you call this thing where you get this false sense of gratification, but because a black man is in office, everything's going to be all right? No, everything's not going to be all right.
So I know how unpopular it is to be seen as helping banks right now, especially when everyone is suffering in part from their bad decisions. I promise you, I get it.
The Obama deception. The truth strikes back. Get your copy of The Obama Deception today at InfoWars.com or download it in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv. Welcome back. It's the second half of InfoWars Nightly News. John Perkins, the economic hitman author, is going to be joining us coming up here in a few minutes. And we'll also look at some of the latest economic developments in Europe as the world is held hostage by the banksters. Turn over total sovereignty and what's left of your rights to us, or we'll give you a depression. And once you give us your liberties, we'll give you a depression anyways. That's what we've done to the rest of the world. But so what? We like you poor. That's coming up. But first, I wanted to get into, well, some news of the weird, to say the least. I've always wondered, reading in different history books from around the world, what would it be like to spontaneously combust? This has happened in public. It happened in ancient times. Asians wrote about it. The ancients in Latin America and Mesoamerica wrote about it. There's famous cases in ancient Europe and even modern England. And there's a new report out on this where the coroner has found that nothing else was damaged in the house and that this gentleman reportedly spontaneously combusted and completely melted down. Sometimes they even burn holes in the floor. It's like the Wicked Witch or something just explodes. First Irish case of death by spontaneous combustion. A man who burned to death in his home died as a result of spontaneous combustion, an Irish coroner has ruled. West Galway coroner, Dr. Sirian McLaughlin, said it was the first time in 25 years of investigating deaths that he had recorded such a verdict. It says Michael Faraday, 76, died at his home in Galway last year, but it's now been confirmed. The death was attributed by some to spontaneous combustion occur when the living human body is burned without an apparent external source of ignition. I'll tell you what my dad thinks is going on. Well, first, typically, the police and fire investigators find burned corpses, but no burned furniture. My dad has pointed out that most lightning actually comes from the bottom up, from the ground up, and that it's an optical illusion that comes from the top down, because it tends to ionize and energize as it goes up. Some lightning does go from the atmosphere down. And that it's probably people with static electricity or other earth events. You've seen trees hit by lightning that explode and are all charred and black and catch on fire. I know I've seen a tree, big tree, struck by lightning and catch on fire and burn. That's probably what's happening here, is that, boom, lightning comes up, millions of volts, and you just explode. I don't know. Might be a good way to go. Certainly probably isn't very painful. In fact, from the eyewitnesses, you don't even have that much time to wonder why you're on fire. It's just, boom, you explode and almost
nothing is left. So there's my theory. I'm always called a conspiracy theorist. I very rarely theorize. Now, one other big news report here is they say particles found to break the speed of light. They claim at the Hadron Superconducting Super Collider there on the border in between France and Switzerland that a team of scientists now last week have recorded subatomic particles traveling faster than light, a finding that could overturn one of Einstein's long-accepted fundamentals, laws of the universe. Yeah, Einstein was a smart guy, but he didn't invent atomic theory. Max Planck did. He expanded on it. And a lot of what Einstein has said has turned out to be true. And I certainly believe that, you know, light is not the fastest thing out there. We were told for hundreds of years that the speed of sound was impossible to break. And, of course, you know what happened with that. He's still living. His name's Chuck Yeager. And now they've got planes that go four or five times the speed of sound. My only issue is I don't believe a lot of what comes out of Hadron because they're so secretive. You know, the stuff that comes out of the CERN superconducting super collider, the Hadron collider. And so who knows? The point is we're certainly not in Kansas anymore. And for all I know, it may be true. Just when scientists tell you global warming's real and ice caps have totally melted and sea levels are rising when they've actually dropped, and you get their internal emails that they're engaged in fraud, and now it's come out that the big CERN system has been caught covering up some global warming news. It's really frustrating. Okay, I wanted to hit a few final economic news stories before we go to John Perkins. The Daily Mail is reporting 6 weeks to save the euro. Chancellor's warning after another day of financial turmoil. George Osborne has savaged Eurozone leaders, failing to get a grip on their towering debts. And of course, these aren't their debts. They've signed on to the derivatives that have been created. And Merkel is also saying the problem is the fact that there's too many democratic institutions in Europe and that they need to give up what's left of their national sovereignty to the private dictatorship. I want to go to a compilation of video clips from my film, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, from just a year and a half ago, with Al Gore, Herman Von Rompuy, Gordon Brown, and others, admitting that the financial crisis of 2008 and 9 would be used to set up a global government, a private corporate global government. And now we're into round two of this, where they're holding Europe hostage, saying, give up what sovereignty you have left and what liberties you have left, or we will plunge you into economic destruction.
But it is the awareness itself that will drive the change. And one of the ways it will drive the change is through global governance and global agreements. But the many business leaders who have been present here are among those taking leadership in other ways.
Yet these problems can be overcome by a joint effort in and between our countries. 2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
This is collective action, people working together at their best. I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
And then if I dare talk about it, they go, oh, shut up, Jones. You crazy nut. None of that exists. And if you talk about it, you're going to cause violence. Just give in to the New World Order. Roll over to it. Hand your guns in. And with more on the global economic crisis, we're joined by the best-selling author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, as well as one of his latest books, Hoodwinked, John Perkins. John, great to have you back.
Good to be with you, Alex, again. Thank you.
I've been interviewing you, I don't know, 5-6 years since your first book came out, and you predicted much of what has now unfolded. We're seeing the very same private banking cartels telling the European Union now, transfer all of your existing rights and sovereignty to a new private financial order. And I see Bloomberg News admitting, yes, national sovereignty and democracy in Germany is the problem. We need bankers ruling everything, or we're going to have a global economic implosion. Is this by design or does it even matter? Because at the end of the day, we are seeing a global banking dictatorship set up.
Well, I don't think there's any question, Alex, that it's by design. The people at the top, what I call the corporatocracy, the people who run our biggest corporations around the world, they know what they're doing. They know what's going on here. And they want it to happen this way. It's by design. They're taking control. You know, we've moved from a time a few hundred years ago when religious organizations pretty much ran the world to then governments running the world. And now we've moved to the next phase, which is the big corporations controlling the world financially and economically and politically. Nations don't mean much anymore. The corporations are really exercising their muscle right now.
They certainly are. Talk about some of the big power players from your perspective. And for viewers who may not know who you are, tell us a little bit about your experience that's unique to be able to, you know, make the assessment you've made today.
Well, my official title was chief economist at a major consulting firm in Boston, Massachusetts. This is back in the 70s. I was really an economic hitman. I arranged huge loans for countries that had resources that corporations coveted from places like the World Bank and the private banking industry. Money never actually went to those countries. It went instead to our own corporations to build big infrastructure projects in those countries like power plants and industrial parks that benefited a few wealthy people in those countries as well as our own corporations, but didn't help the majority of the people. Too poor to buy electricity, couldn't get jobs in industrial parks because they don't hire many people. And yet they, the people of the country, were left holding a huge debt they couldn't repay. So we go back at some point and say, hey, since you can't pay your debts, sell your oil to our oil companies real cheap, or your mineral resources, whatever. Open your markets to us. Let us build a military base on your soil. Vote with us on the next critical United Nations vote. And in the few cases where these leaders didn't go along with what we wanted them to, what we call the jackals went in. These are people that assassinate or overthrow governments. And because I couldn't bring Jaime Roldós, president of Ecuador, around, or Omar Torrijos of Panama, they were both assassinated in this process. It's a pretty insidious method, but it's a new way of forming empire, and it's turned out to be extremely successful, and it's bringing us all apart.
Well, if one thing is clear, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, the other big mega global banks are totally ruthless and really revel in oppression and destroying societies. And as you pointed out, they go in and build their own infrastructure that's taxpayer paid for. So the public pays for the services, but also pays for the investment. And then the country goes into impossible to pay off debts. I've seen numbers of Nigeria. They get a $1 billion loan over the last 30 years, pay over $50 billion and still owe tens of billions of dollars. And now this very structure is being used on the West, breaking down what we're seeing happen in Europe and here in the U.S. What is the end game of these big mega banks and corporations that have grown up around them?
It's total control. It's a new form of empire. It's an empire that isn't created primarily through the military, although the military is right there always to back up these corporations if they get into trouble. But it's this form of empire that's being built around debt and fear. And in a way, it dates back to the old feudal empires where you had these castles around the country. Side, and you had a few what we call the bourgeoisie people that lived around the outsides of the castles, and they were kept there. They kept us having to give a huge percentage of their crops or whatever they did, blacksmiths, whatever their work they did, they had to donate it to the lord of the castle and his knights, or they felt that they would be attacked by somebody from another castle. We're very much in that mentality today, except today the castle is the big corporations, and the lords are the CEOs of those corporations, and their knights are all the henchmen that work for them. Very, very similar situation. And yes, we're seeing it in the United States. We're seeing it in Europe. I'm on my way to Istanbul to speak at a major conference there of leaders from many Eastern European and Middle Eastern countries. They're experiencing it big time. And people are beginning to understand what's happening. That's why we're having these uprisings, what we call the Arab Spring, and many other parts of the world. We're seeing people begin to really get informed and demonstrate against this.
Zbigniew Brzezinski told the Council on Foreign Relations last year that for the first time in history, quote, all of humanity is awake and staring at the elite, not at their puppet front men, and that the elite had a big problem. How do you see the kleptocrats, the corporate fascists, whatever you want to call them, how do you see them trying to maintain and expand this control, because I see their undoing being they're so good at wrecking societies and knocking out their competition and destroying economic diversity. They're such an incredible corporate Borg that in the final equation, they must be overthrown. I mean, it's almost built in that it's an overreach.
Yes, and, well, you know, what we're seeing now is a classic battle, really a war between those in control, the guys who run the castle, and those who used to sit outside the castle quietly serving those in the castle. And now, kind of like the Robin Hood coming along, finally saying, this isn't fair, this isn't going to work anymore. And so at that point, the people in the castle, the corporatocracy, the people who are running our big corporations, really dig in harder and harder. And let's face it, today they own the U.S. Congress and basically every other political leader in the world in any so-called democracy. Nobody gets elected to president of the United States or Congress without the financial support from these corporations. It used to be that our elected officials in the United States wrote the laws. Today, it's the corporations. It's their lobbyists. They pass them through the elected officials whom they own. And yet, we're really seeing it. And I think when Obama got elected, and there was a great hope amongst the people on the left, or the liberals, or progressives, whatever you want to call it, but they've come to see that this liberal Democrat, in many respects, is not very different from a conservative Republican. We're all really beginning to get it now. And as we get it, we're going to expect the status quo to dig in even more strongly. And that's exactly what's happening today. You're having the people rising up in many places, Washington, D.C. now, Wall Street, in addition to the Middle East and the Far East and Latin America and Africa. And at the same time, the status quo, those in control, the corporatocracy, are going to dig in harder and harder and harder.
We're talking to John Perkins, best-selling author, New York Times, what, number one best-selling author, economic hitman. Of course, he also put out Hoodwinked. I had read coming up in a few months. It's coming out in paperback, invaluable reading. You know, I do radio interviews, as you do, and TV interviews all over the world. And so many times they bring up John Perkins. They say, wow, what you're talking about, have you heard of John Perkins? I'm like, of course I have. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you are an admitted, self-described former knight of these guys, a former henchman, or I guess you could say almost a financial and political cutthroat of Prince John. But now you've kind of joined Robin Hood and the Merry Men. From being on the inside and going to the Pentagon and, you know, having meetings and getting the walking orders and all of that, now being here today, knowing the mindset of the plutocrats, when you say they're going to dig in, how do you expect them to dig in as somebody who formerly served Darth Sidious?
Well, you hit the nail on the head there, Alex. Yes, I did do all those things. And incidentally, the system is so insidious that when I did it, I came out of business school. I thought I was doing the right thing, because business schools, in essence, teach us if we want to be good economists, if we want to be good managers, we need to be the knights that serve these Darth Vaders, as you put it. And that's what we're taught. And so for a long time, I bought into that because I'd been taught that was the right thing to do. But the deeper I got into the system, the more I could see how terrible and insidious it is, and anti-democratic and anti-everything we in the United States believe that we believe in, that I thought that I believed in. But so at this point in time, what they're doing is getting everybody into debt as much as they can, you know. And right now, Greece is the top one in the news, but before that it was Ireland and then Iceland and so on. And of course, individuals in the United States. And when you get people into this kind of debt, you have tremendous control over them. So you start to demand that in order to be have a little bit of debt relief, they have to sell off their public utility companies or other public sector institutions to the private corporations. So it's an attempt to get more and more power into the hands of the private corporations. At the same time, they're very much bringing the middle class down, because it looked to them like the middle class was beginning to get a little too smart, understanding what was going on. And so bring the middle class down some, not too far, because you got to have them buying your goods and services, but scare them, put them deep into debt. When you're deep in debt, you don't rebel, because you don't want to lose your house. You don't want to lose or the food on your table to serve your family. So you basically become a eunuch. And they like that. That's what's going on today, Alex, around the world.
In closing, I've been asking the questions here. I'd like you to spend a few minutes on any topics or points that you think are, you know, really central to understanding the big picture here. And I'd also like you to look into your, you know, crystal ball if you can, and describe where you see this going. We agree, giant awakening, new renaissance, enlightenment, whatever you want to call it, but the empire is going to strike back, to continue with the Star Wars analogy. So any other points that you think are important, and then again, elaborate on where you see things going.
Well, I think we have to all understand, each of us, that we have tremendous power, that these corporations only survive and thrive because we buy their goods and services. And we've sent this message to them that we want cheap T-shirts. And if that means being made by slaves in sweatshops in Indonesia, we'll just look the other way. We want cheap petroleum for our cars. If that means destroying rainforests, we'll just look the other way. We've got to now send a new message. We've got to tell these corporations that we expect them to serve the public interest, which is something they were mandated to do during the first 100 years that the United States was a country. That changed in the late 1800s when the Supreme Court had a turnaround. But we need to send this message out again, that these corporations are there to serve our interests, and we'll only buy from corporations that do that. And to recognize the power we have. We got rid of apartheid in South Africa when I was in college by boycotting corporations that supported it. We got them to open their doors wider to women and minorities and get rid of trans fats. We have tremendous power. The marketplace is democratic, if we choose to make it such. I would like to suggest that probably the vote that we make each time we buy something or choose not to is more important than the vote we make every 2 years when we go to the polls. So we, the people, need to understand that we have to take responsibility here, and we can foment a revolution. We don't have to pick up guns. We just have to let these corporations know that we're only going to vote for the ones that are committed to making a better world for us, our children, and grandchildren. Those that are committed to being good public servants, to serving us.
Well, a microcosm of that is you couldn't find organic food 10, 15 years ago on most store shelves. Now it's displacing a lot of the garbage. Or you see examples of people not wanting bisphenol A-lined plastic goods, and now it's being pulled out of many of the products. I mean, we see the examples of the fact that we do vote with our pocketbook. People should support alternative media, authors, TV shows, websites, and they should boycott the big corporate media when it engages in the type of propaganda it has. And I think what you're saying, John, in closing is look in the mirror. It's easy to make some judgment about a big corrupt Fortune 100 that we know is doing horrible things, but it's our empowerment, it's our buying its goods and going along with it that is literally basically buying war bonds to fund its operation. And so at the end of the day, we're being hypocrites when we sit here on a high horse criticizing these global corporatists because it really is us who've allowed this to happen.
Absolutely, Alex. Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And we also, you know, we really need to insist that these corporations create a new economy. Right now, the economy of the United States is totally dependent on the military. I'm shocked by how people talk about balancing the budget, but there's no way we can balance the budget until we cut back the military budget, which is huge. And most of that just goes to creating things that get destroyed and destroy other people and make enemies for us around the world.
Well, now,
they need to turn that around. There's so many opportunities. I speak a lot at MBA programs, and I encourage these young people coming up into the business world to form their own companies. We all know alternative energy is important, but what about creating new technologies for helping starving people in Africa grow food more efficiently, store it, and distribute it? Like you said, coming in the organic foods business has been a huge change in 10 years. What about creating companies that will clean up the terrible pollution that is all over our planet, in the earth, in the air, and the water? We really need to create a new economy that's not based on the military and also not based on just selling each other trinkets, which we're also very good at, or selling each other derivatives and pieces of paper that lawyers and bankers trade around and don't create any jobs or help anybody in any way. We really need to take a good look at that. And you and I and all of your listeners are the people that can make that happen. We just have to become conscious and take positive action.
And we've got to watch out for counterfeits, because everything you've said makes total sense. We need to develop a new economy, not a war economy, where we now see the military-industrial complex more and more taking over domestic operations, spying on the people. We have to realize this military-industrial complex does not serve our sovereignty or our liberty. It serves this global corporate system, and we pay for it. But then so many times, then the IMF and World Bank, they'll use environmental excuses to put a new yoke of tyranny on the third world, instead of really trying to empower them. And it's a nuanced issue. John Perkins, I really appreciate you spending time with us. Just 1 minute on where you see this clash of ideas going, though.
Well, I'm very hopeful that we're going to win. We, the people, we're going to turn this thing around. And I see evidence of that in what's going on in South America. Huge revolution down there, democratic market revolution, market-based revolution. We're seeing it in the Middle East. We're seeing it in China. We're seeing it in Asia. We're seeing it in Europe. We're beginning to see it in the United States. I'm very hopeful. We don't know what ultimately will happen, but each one of us has to get involved and push harder for this. And that's how it will happen. So I don't know the outcome, but I'm very hopeful that we, the people, are rising to a new level of consciousness, and we will get there. And incidentally, Alex, I'd really encourage people to subscribe to my newsletter at johnperkins.org. Visit me on Facebook, Twitter, economic_hitman, and keep this conversation going, because I really like to talk with your audience on a continuing basis.
Absolutely. Well, this is the shorter format InfoWars Nightly News, but I would like to invite you to come back on the full radio show in the near future. But I know you're a very busy man. John Perkins, God bless you.
Thank you, Alex. I'd love to join you again. Keep up your good work.
You too, my friend. Well, that's it for tonight's edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time. Of course, streamed and posted right here at PrisonPlanet.tv. Tomorrow night, we will have more on a InfoWars story that is in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today. Journalist Sioux City over arrest at G20 summit. Rob Dew was falsely arrested a few years ago while at the G20, and he's teamed up with the head of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, who is a Yale constitutional graduate lawyer. And they are going after the tyrants there. So we're going to have a little update on that, striking back at the empire to defend the First Amendment, coming up tomorrow night with Rob Dews in there running the show. I'm Alex Jones, signing off from the front lines of the InfoWar. Please spread the word about this important transmission. Thank you for your support.